And in today's program, we have with us Chandi Vyant, history instructor at Qatar Community College. Welcome to the show, Chandi.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself and your work here in Doha?
Yes, I am a history instructor here at Qatar Community College. I'm originally from California, and I'm having a fabulous experience teaching history here to young Qatari men and women.
So could you tell us, why should anyone want to study history?
Well, that's a great question. That's what I challenge my students in my classes. I ask them, why study history? Why should they care about people on the other side of the world that lived 400 years ago? And it's because what happens when we attempt to gain an understanding of a world that's different from our own? With investigating a world that's different from our own, we have to put aside our assumptions and prejudices and enter a world in which the rules are different. So I'm a firm believer that if history is taught from this point of view, it can help teach tolerance. And I want my teaching of history to make a difference in the world and create knowledge and understanding and also empathy.
So empathy, is that your approach to the study of history, where you approach the other with empathy?
Yes. I love the fact that through teaching history, I can have this goal of creating more tolerance in the world. And we can do that through this exercise of studying people who are different from us. And so if teaching history is done well, it helps us to appreciate the importance of different cultural, religious, and social systems. So we step beyond our own cultural confines and think creatively about issues in a global context. So my goal is to break down the way that my students think about history when they come into the classroom. They think it's a very boring subject because usually they've been taught that it's about memorizing facts and dead white men. And I tell them it's not about that. I tell them it's about asking questions. And so it can be a very exciting subject, right? I mean, a historian deals with this diverse array of narratives about the world and people, and it teaches us to think in more nuanced ways about differences, which I think can help develop tolerance, right, for others who are different from us, and that's how we grow as human beings.
So does that mean your Qatari students appreciate learning history in your class?
Yes, I'm having a lot of success. They often tell me that they didn't like history before my class, and I had a great experience this summer semester when my wonderful boss allowed me to teach a special topics course, which is on what I have studied. My studies were on the Florentine Renaissance, and most colleges I've taught at want me to teach the bread and butter courses, the U.S. surveys and the Western Civilization survey courses, and not just an in-depth course on the Florentine Renaissance, which is my specialty. But my boss allowed me to do this special topics course this summer at the men's campus, and the students at the beginning told me that they really didn't know anything about Italy. I gave them a map of Italy to see if they could locate places on it, and Most of them were not able to, and they hadn't heard of the Renaissance. So we went from this place, this sort of blank slate of them not knowing anything about this topic. In less than 2 months, the summer session's quite short, just the other day, in the last day of class, they ended up with all of them just going around the room, all of them talking about how excited they were to have learned so much, to have gone from what they said was 0% to 100% of knowledge. And so many of them said now they're planning a trip to Italy because they want to see Brunelleschi's dome and Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel ceiling.
So that's great news for our Qatari students. Your own experience as a historian, how do you feel like when you enter another world as a historian? What curiosities do you bring? What wonder do you bring to your study?
Well, yes. Wonder reminds me of my first experience of being excited about history, because I grew up in a California beach town where I didn't see any history. And I took a trip to Europe actually before I entered university with, a backpack and a youth hostel pass. And I arrived in Italy and was absolutely amazed just walking around Florence and Rome, seeing the Pantheon and seeing Michelangelo's David. I had such an immense sense of wonder and thrill, and I knew it was one of those special moments in life where you know what you are supposed to be doing, you know what your passion is.
And how did you connect this personal experience into a lifelong journey in historical studies?
Well, I've continued to travel and to live abroad as much as possible. I teach my students that history is about asking questions and having a curiosity for the world, having a curiosity for people of the past and why they made the choices they made, why things happened the way they happened, why societies developed the way they did, because it helps us understand the world we live in today. So I love that constant questioning and that constant exploring and constant learning. And I find that if I can keep traveling and I can keep living in different cultures, it keeps that personal dialogue going, that personal questioning and that personal sense of wonder. I don't become complacent without those questions coming up the way I could if I just stayed in my same town. So one fascinating thing I did a few years back was a pilgrimage walk in Italy that I did on my own on a pilgrimage route that's recently been revived by the Italian Ministry of Culture.
Can you tell us a bit more about your pilgrimage walk? And I believe you might be writing a manuscript out of that experience.
Yes, I chose to walk for 40 days on a pilgrimage route. Like I said, it's not well known. It's recently being revived in Italy. It's not known at all like the Camino in Spain. The whole thing actually takes 4 months to walk. It starts in Canterbury, England, and goes to Rome. And the route has been revived because of the diaries of a bishop from the Middle Ages who left Canterbury to walk to Rome, which was an important thing to do. If you became a bishop, you had to go to Rome and receive this cloak from the Pope. And I didn't have 4 months to do the whole thing. And I speak Italian, and Italy's the love of my life. So I wanted to take 40 days and go from the north of Italy to Rome. So the beautiful thing about this route right now, for me at least, I'm sure walking the Camino is wonderful, the well-known one in Spain, but apparently you see thousands of pilgrims per day on the Camino. Now, in walking 40 days on this route, I saw a total of 6 pilgrims the whole time. So I was on my own a lot, going over mountains and through farmers' fields, and sometimes on the edges of highways, which wasn't the most appealing place to walk.
You are listening to Children of Adam and Hawa, Kahwa, on QF Radio 91.7 FM, a special radio show for the month of Ramadan, brought to you by Adil Khan and Hamdi Blekic in collaboration with Doha Center for Interfaith Dialogue, where we are speaking to our special guest today, Chandi Vyant, a history instructor at Qatar Community College. Chandi, it's a very Catholic thing to do a 40-day walk from the north of Italy to Rome.
Yes, this is what was so fascinating about it, is I am not Catholic, and I didn't quite realize when I set out to do this walk how immersed I would be in Catholicism. I stayed with nuns and monks along the route, and I was able to have a very in-depth experience because of being able to speak in Italian with them and have some wonderful dialogues, not only with them, but with other Italians I met along the route. And so many Italians would say to me, "Oh, you must be so Catholic to be walking to Rome." And I didn't know how to respond. I just hadn't thought that piece through. But it was a wonderful experience to open myself up to experiencing the true heart of Catholicism. I have many friends in the U.S. who were raised Catholic and rejected it and don't practice it. And I entered this whole other world of Catholicism, where the nuns and monks were so lovely and so good to me, and I had such a rich and positive experience of almost living what it would have felt like in the Middle Ages, going into these little churches with them. I was in the middle of nowhere, and they would say, "Do you want to go to Mass with us?" And I would say, "Of course," even though I didn't even know what I was supposed to do in a Catholic Mass.
So, if you don't mind me asking, did you ever have a numinous experience in this whole journey? An experience of the beyond?
Yes.
So, is for our listeners, is this an exploration of your own past, an attempt to do this pilgrim walk, or is this a literary experience? And what does this mean for your appreciation for your countries or your civilization's religious inheritance?
Well, I think to really appreciate Western civilization, like I said, as someone who grew up in a California beach town, which feels very far removed from the richness and the depth of the traditions, the humanities, the wonderful rich humanities that have come out of Europe for thousands of years, I feel very removed from that growing up in California. And I'm so, which, you know, California is a wonderful forward thinking place, wonderful innovations. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak developed Apple Computer in my same town. And so I appreciate all that, but to really appreciate Western civilization and what our traditions are in the West, it's imperative to spend in depth time in Europe.
Do you have a message for our listeners relating to your own personal voyage through history, through time, that is, and through different places, from Italy to Qatar. Do you have something that you'd like to say to us regarding tolerance and how perhaps governments should learn from your experience as a traveler?
Yes. Well, governments, unfortunately, aren't doing a great job to really try to understand countries, peoples, cultures that are different. And ever since I started traveling and living abroad, I saw it as a wonderful opportunity to take on what Gandhi said: the more friends we have around the world, the less likely we are to go to war against them. And this is really the goal of my life. And this actually, being a historian, relates to this, because a well-trained historian doesn't accept the common narrative that governments usually employ of a world divided into forces of good and evil, because we are thinking about, as we study history, we have to go beyond our own image, right? Go beyond our cultural confines. And again, like I said, this helps us develop tolerance and understanding. And I know there's been a massive amount of misunderstanding over the years between my country and countries in the Middle East. And there won't be any positive progress in this relationship if we can't develop empathy and a sense of respect for customs and values that are different.
Can you tell us from your past travels where you've experienced what you've just said about governments fighting over things and you being part of history, where you've been able to do things differently?
Yes, one of my favorite experiences where I really felt that I had made a difference in the world and helped create tolerance was when I did a Volunteers for Peace work camp in Poland in 1985, when the Eastern Bloc countries still were closed off and not accessible. You couldn't just take a train and arrive in Warsaw. I was able to go there through this organization called Volunteers for Peace that arranged visas for young people who wanted to participate in basically a dialogue about war and peace issues. And so I was there with young people, mostly from European countries, and there was a French girl who considered herself a communist, who was a participant of this work camp. We were located at the former concentration camp of Majdanek as our setting for this camp, where we helped during the day to make the former concentration camp into a museum, and at night we had discussions about war and peace issues. This particular young French girl who was a communist was very, very anti-American, and which I accepted and didn't challenge her on. I knew that a lot of Europeans were quite upset with our president at the time. But there, for the whole time during the camp, there were no real breakthroughs until one night when I became emotional and said, "Look, it's not easy to be an American and know that, you know, my president has called the Soviet Union the evil empire, and to see how upset Europeans were about all the cruise missile bases that my country was putting in all over Europe." And so I just expressed how it was for me, and she later came up to me and said she'd never met an American like me, and she didn't realize that an American could have that point of view. And I could see how much she was struggling to say it. It was a beautiful and emotional moment. And she said that I had changed, what I had said had changed her feelings, that she now felt like, I think she used the word that a window had been opened.
And one last question. When we enter a world which is not our own, for example, the past, should we do it with courtesy or with criticism?
Yes, well, what I would suggest, based on these themes we've been talking about, is that it's easier to criticize than to understand. And what I am learning living here and what I encourage others to think about is, next time you're criticizing a culture, ask yourself, can I absolutely know that this is true? Because if you haven't spent in-depth time in that culture and really gotten to know those people and made an effort to understand ways that are different, you may not be able to say you absolutely know that it's true when you are criticizing another group of people and their ways that maybe you don't understand. I'm often called upon to step out of my cultural norms here and really push myself to let go for a minute of what I hold dear in order to understand what people here hold dear. And I have to push myself not to judge, but instead to seek to understand. And it's a fabulous exercise. And I wouldn't be pushed to do that if I wasn't living here. So, you know, this gets back to my thoughts about travel and why it's so important for education and for creating tolerance around the world. Not just traveling to see sights and to shop, but I encourage people to really travel deeply. Living abroad is even better if possible, and try to be invited into people's homes and be open to learning and understanding different ways. And even if you can't fully understand, you can at least develop respect.
Thank you, Chandi Vyan. Thank you for speaking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we would like to wish our listeners Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, I would love to wish Ramadan Kareem to everyone. And I also want to just say that I really, really appreciate the fact that Qatar is bringing us here and giving us these wonderful opportunities, all of us who are professors and teachers here. It's truly been a very, very special gift in my life to be able to work and live here.
Thank you. And with this, we end our today's program. The past is a foreign country, and we can approach it, as Chandi has explained to us, as a traveler, as a wanderer, as a wanderer of its many, many delights. Thank you for listening to us today. From Adil Khan and Hamdi Blekic, goodbye and Ramadan Kareem.